We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. Hey now. And welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy. I got it right. Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, the WNBA is in full swing, my friend. And listen, there have been some really great games, some fantastic out of timeout executions by teams, but the top of the power list is still the Las Vegas Aces.
Yeah, they own the scene. I mean, I think some of this stuff that we're going to talk about today falls into the bucket of, like, you can be surprised, but we right. probably shouldn't be surprised. Like, the Aces starting off 7-0, they haven't looked quite as they've looked dominant at times. I don't think they've put a whole game together yet, and they're still, like, scary good. It turns out that when you have a championship team and you add Candace Parker to it and you add Alicia Clark to it, and you don't lose that many players, it turns out you're pretty good. So 7-0, I mean, their offense is what's driving them on the I want to see what the points per game. 109 offensive rating, which is insane. Real good.
109.
So that's first in offense. And then, Christy, guess what they are in defense on a per possession basis?
Per possession defense for the Aces. First. Wow. I was going to say second, but I was like, you know, they're winning. So they have to be putting it together on both sides. So
it's looking good. And I really don't think this team is in full swing yet. I mean, the 3-point shooting's not that good yet, but, like, I don't know. In the game, last night's game against Connecticut, they were up really big early. And that's what I was saying. They put a really nice first half together. Just beautiful basketball. And then didn't put the second half together, but it didn't really matter because they were up by so much by the end of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think the Aces, like, I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, they came out of the gates. I mean, that was going to be a great game anyway. It was billed to be like a great matchup, a rematch, if you will, a run it back situation from last year's finals and all. You know, I just think that it was too much of Vegas initially, with their experience really showing through. And then the grit and wherewithal from Connecticut came through towards the end. And Stephanie White got Coach of the Month, right? Was it Coach of the Week or Coach of the Month?
It could be either, because there's only like 1 week of games.
That's what I'm saying.
May. Like, there was like 9 days in May where there was games and we gave out a Coach of the Month, which I think that's fine. I think she was the Eastern Conference Coach of the Month or the Coach of the Week, but it doesn't, in the first week, it didn't matter.
Either way, hats off to Stephanie White, man, and walk into that team. You know, Kurt Miller obviously was there for years, and then now he's with the LA Sparks, who we're going to talk about next. Mm-hmm. But Stephanie White has just done a masterful job there at the head coaching position. I mean, she took the Fever to the finals in 2015, and she has 15 years, whether she was playing or coaching in this league. And that just speaks to her basketball acumen, but also mm-hmm. it just speaks to her discipline to be able to hit the ground running as a new coach and have them in the top stratosphere of the WNBA power ranking. So the way that she got them back on track in that game, I mean, it just speaks to not just the tactical side of adjustments that were made down the stretch for Connecticut to make that run, but you know, you have to be an encourager. You have to pour in mm-hmm. To your team. And I know that she did that as well as get on the whiteboard. I mean, all of her stuff coming out of timeouts and, you know, the adjustments, like I said, were right on time. So you want to have that. I mean, your leaders, you want them to pour into your team. And, you know, as a player, I wanted my coaches mm-hmm. to pour into me. And not that I'm expecting that and I'm not going to, you know, be a giver in that dynamic, but you want to have positive reinforcement, right? And you also want to be told the truth too and be held accountable. So I think that's what Stephanie White has done with Connecticut.
And I think, you know, it helps to have some continuity, right? Like, yeah. And have Alyssa Thomas, who I don't think Alyssa Thomas has much of a problem telling the truth.
Right.
But, you know, coming into that situation and winning like they have, it's been really impressive. And I think, you know, being able to come back in that game against the Aces was also impressive. I think mm-hmm. that's one of the things that shows the resilience of a team. I mean, you know, it didn't take long for me to mention the Miami Heat. I'm already wearing my Himmy jersey, and Himmy shirt.
Gone.
Himmy Butler, go Heat. Yeah, you guys, by the time you guys listen to this, you'll know if the Heat have a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals, which
I love it.
Let's go. But that's the sort of resilience that you see from teams that are good, right? The teams that are really good show that they're not going to give up no matter what the score is, and they're going to go right on a big run and make the score look good at the end, not just because it makes the score look good, but because they believe it can help them win. So I think Connecticut yeah. has that. And they showed it in the second half, but man, they just got blitzed by those Aces. I mean, it's coming from every angle. And again, they're not shooting threes that well. Oh. Actually, you know what? I wanted to look up something before we got on here and I forgot. So we're just going to have to do this together.
Oh.
I'm looking for the time of possession for the Aces this season.
Okay.
Versus last season. So let me see. I'm on
the pace.
Well, it's pace, but like taking out, it's not just possessions per game. It's like the seconds per possession based on like the play-by-play stats.
Oh, okay.
It's just a little different. And I like it just a tiny bit better. Oh, let's see. So Las Vegas, their offensive pace is 14.1 points. I mean, 14.1 seconds per possession on offense.
Okay.
Let's see what it was last year.
So that's how much they use.
That's how much seconds they use.
Okay.
Second best in the league. I mean, while we're here and we're waiting for this to load, who do you think the first best team in the league is so far in terms of offensive pace?
Oh man. We just had them. Who was in DC on Friday? Because it was pace. That was one of the keys. Was it Minnesota?
Dallas.
Dallas
was up there, but it's actually Atlanta.
Oh, Dallas was up there. That's what it was. Pace. So, pushing. Yeah.
So last year, Las Vegas was first in this same stat, seconds per possession on offense at 14.49 seconds. So they're actually moving faster this year, even though they're second rather than first. That'll probably normalize. But I think they're going to continue this pace because you have Kelsey Plum, you have Jackie Young, you have Chelsea Gray, who, I mean, Chelsea just does everything. And then you have Candace Parker, who's a great outlet passer. You have Asia Wilson, who runs the floor. It's just like the layers and layers and layers upon. Like, hey, okay, maybe you stop them in transition. Then you get into the half court and you have to deal with all of those people I'm talking about running in unison. And running plays that they pretty much know how to play because, I mean, again, adding Candace Parker to this team is just brilliant because she doesn't, there's no like necessary time. Like she knows how to play. Like,
yeah.
Just tell her, tell her the general scheme and like she'll figure it out. You don't have to spend too much time like getting her used to how you guys do things. So it should be the same as whatever she's doing because she's one of the best players, right? So it just felt really smooth, really seamless.
Yes.
For the aces, and I'm impressed. I gotta say. And I think I would be surprised if this lets up, but I mean, we should expect them to lose, like probably going a little bit losing streak at some point this year. Do you think that's fair?
I mean, I think you don't want to see teams lose, but I understand what you mean, like to have to fight through some adverse situations and then develop character and then push through to try to repeat as WNBA champions. I can see that. But yeah. I mean, I was also on an undefeated high school team, so there's a lot to be said for not losing, man. I don't know. But if they do, I think, you know, they have the experience to weather that storm, right? I mean, it can't rain forever. And, you know, they understand that because they've seen it, you know, USA basketball, they've seen it with the WNBA and all the different teams that they've been on. They've had to fight together. So, I mean, to see Chelsea Gray and Candace Parker on the same team again, and they had the little kid play footwork dance down. I mean, you know, they're going to get it right back. Okay. They're in lockstep in every way. So I just think mentally, if that does happen, they're going to be okay. And obviously Becky Hammon running the show, winning a championship in her first year as a head coach and the WNBA. I mean, that speaks for itself as well. So I think they'll be fine if that does happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if they ran the table.
Oh, they're not going to win.
I'm not putting that out there as like,
they're not going to win all their
going
games
to do, but I would not be surprised.
They're not going to win all their games. It's 40 games this year. That's too many games.
40 of them. Hey, you never know.
That's too many to win in a row. I mean, so last year, in fairness to what your point, their longest losing streak was two games.
There you go.
They did have a stretch, though. I believe this was right before the All-Star break, I believe, where they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of their last seven heading into the All-Star break.
Oh,
last season. And then they got together right after the All-Star break. That's when Chelsea Gray famously said, I'm just not going to lose any more basketball games. I'm going to play perfect basketball and we're going to win. And they pretty much did that. So, I just do think they will have to, they'll hit something, right? Like it'll happen, but man, I think that team is going to, we're going to see them in the finals again. That's what I'm getting at. I think that's a fair prediction.
That is a fair prediction. And I just think, you know, the way that they have come out of the gates, I mean, even if they have a lot of the core pieces from last year's championship squad, you know, to add, you know, Alicia Clark, like you said, and obviously Candace Parker. I just think for them to add them in and not really have any hiccups out of the gates, I think that's most impressive as well. I mean, they don't really need that time to develop chemistry, although I know that they are doing that, but they're doing that and winning. So there's like, there's an extra added bonus to how quickly they are formulating their rhythm on both sides of the ball. So it's not just offensive continuity. I mean, you have to be on a string on defense. And, you know, we saw that with New York out of the gates, like, you know, just kind of didn't have their mojo going in game one against Washington. And Washington won that game and took advantage of them trying to develop their chemistry. So we haven't seen that with Las Vegas is all I'm saying. And not that New York is not rolling right now, because they are. But initially, you know, and you give them grace in that regard, you know, to know with all those moving parts and new pieces, you understand them. It's not going to be like, oh, on paper, it looks like this, so it's going to look like this on the floor. No, right? But I think for Las Vegas, it has, for the most part, looked, like you said, seamless. And, you know, they look together. And I think that chemistry between, again, Candace and Gray, you know, I mean, they already have that. So it's just like, you know, you go to the yard and you see a player you played with before. So see how, hey, you got the eye. I don't have to say anything.
Especially when that player is Chelsea Gray.
I mean, it was Chelsea
Gray. You may just be able to pick up Chelsea Gray and she'll play like that with you because she's like a genius.
Exactly. But you have the familiar.
So. Yeah. I do. So I want to say one more thing about the Aces, but I want to get back to what you said about the Liberty, because I do have one large complaint about the Liberty.
I need to get
off my chest.
Notes. What you going to say?
But so on the Aces, I just want to say it's really nice to see Alicia Clark hitting her threes.
Yeah.
She's currently at 48%, 13 and 27. That's awesome. It was a struggle last year coming back from the foot injury. you know, the reason her falling, she just didn't feel right. You could tell, even in the play, and she found so many ways to contribute, which is a testament to her. But like, but her threes weren't falling. Love to see the threes falling, and then those looks are like wide open, because look at the team she's playing on.
Who she's playing with?
It's absolutely wide open for her, and so she's hitting them. And it's just lovely to see former Mystic, former Storm, helping the team win on the Liberty. Here's my thing.
All right, talk to me.
So I went back and I like watched all in depth, watched the entire Chicago Sky comeback against Liberty. Okay. 19 points.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like hyperbolic, but like 19 points, like that's a lot of points to give up as a lead.
That is.
Like that, if you're up 19 in the game, you're like, all right, we're probably okay. We're feeling good.
Feeling good.
It's really good.
Going solid.
So I was like, how you give up a 19-point lead? So I went back and watched it. And it really, I don't want to be too simplistic because there was a lot going on. Marina Mabry played great. Clay Copper got going. The Chicago Sky team's really tough. Alana Smith is like playing out of her mind. James Wade, just tremendous. And we could talk about her. But
getting it done.
How are the Liberty just not getting back in transition?
Yeah.
They're not getting back. They're not stopping the ball.
No.
And it's hard to stress how important transition defense is.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not been getting back. And I don't know. I mean, Sandy Rondello said it was an effort thing, but like, it has to be something also. Like, it can't just be effort. Like, they care. They're clearly playing hard for most of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not getting back. I'm not sure what the problem is, but that's my big complaint. If the Liberty got back on defense, they probably win that game against Chicago. So that seems like an easy fix, that at least in that one game.
Yeah, but I mean, transition defense, that's not schematic. And I think that's what Sandy Brondello was alluding to, right? I mean, mm-hmm. what else? Like, if you're coaching and you see your team not getting back, what do you say to them? Go harder. Like, get back. Like, we got to go. Like, we can't have easy offense for our opponents. Like, I don't know, like, schematically – I mean, you could send, you know, not as many people to the glass on the offensive boards. I mean,
there's like a
schematic, but is it simply just effort when it comes to transition defense?
Well, focus, effort and focus on every play is what,
I mean,
is what makes it.
Right? But you also have to bust your butt. You need to haul it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Effort and focus, like understanding like, oh, we got to go now. And then giving the effort to go now. But I think also there is like a little bit of scheme, right? Like there is some communication as to which guard is getting back first to stop the ball, which person's running to the rim. If you're the second person, I mean, obviously the entire point is to get back. If you get back, you stop a lot of problems if you're just simply back there.
Yes.
But like there is some scheme to it, and maybe that's an area where they could improve, but I think it has to be a lot of effort. I don't like saying it's effort because I don't know what their high, you know, what their upper or lower effort is. So there has to be something in here that makes sense. But hey, maybe they're just getting back into shape and it'll be fine. But like last year, the Liberty had the problem with the turnovers that drove me crazy. We had several podcasts where I like ranted about it. I don't want to do that with the transition defense this year for the Liberty. So I hope they get together.
Right. Yeah, I hope so too. And sometimes if you do have a team that is a high paced team and you're playing against them, maybe, you know, like what I was saying, if you want to make something schematic or make some adjustments in that way. I mean, don't send three to the glass, you know, just send two to the glass and, you know, have your other guards or your other three players getting back, right? And walling up and not allowing free rim runs and drives and finishes in transition. But I think at the end of the day, it is effort. So I kind of agree with Sandy Brondello on that, because even if you send two or three to the old boards, I mean, you still have to get back and direct them out. Like, you still have to funnel them out of the lane, like, period. And you have to contest threes and transition now because of analytics and the threes, the amount of threes going up, okay? So you have to be aware. So there can't be, you know, hey, the house is on fire. Who's going to go put some water on it? You're looking around. Like, that's what's happening. It's like, the house is on fire. Like, we all got to go. Like, we all have to help put that out. So that's it for me. But I mean, that's the only thing I could think of schematically that would help But at the end of the day, the foundation of that whole premise is you got to haul it back and protect the rim, protect your house. Like, get there, you know, get there. And that is, you know, a focus factor. And that is a want to and not a have to, you know, that is, you know, I heard Van Gundy on one of the playoff games say, and Jeff say something about, hey, you can't trot back. You got to be in a full sprint. You got to get back. And that's just the basics and the fundamentals, right? I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, you got to give that effort. And it has to be every time. You have to be consistent.
You got to be looking like the Kenny Smith thing. You got to be looking like this. Not like this. Leaning forward a little bit.
Run through the tape, man.
I mean, it's not, and the limiting turnovers, which will come with all that. You know, you were talking about how they're going to get used to each other and all that. Like, they will get used to each other, and they will. So the turnovers will be lessened. There'll be less transition opportunities. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, the shots go down. Yada yada, blah blah.
Right.
And it's not all bad. That's what I'm getting at. I was like, it's not all bad for like, but like you said, they are kind of rolling. Like, they won four straight games in between.
Right.
Yeah, they lost the first game of the year to Washington. Just got mopped in that one. That was interesting to watch. And then lost this one in Chicago, but four wins in between, with one of them being against Chicago.
Right.
It's just a good team. They're just really good. Breanna Stewart's really, really good. And then Courtney Vandersloot's, again, leading the league in assists, like by a lot at the moment. I'm sure people will catch up and she'll come down a little bit. And Sabrina's playing great. Just a really good team. And they're gonna be fine. But I do think it's the growing pains.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then, you know, last year, Natasha Cloud led the league with 7 assists. So, you know, see if her numbers can get back up to that
she's
window.
Like fourth.
Right. See if she can get back up into that upper echelon, that window, you know, being tops again. But Courtney Vandersloot probably has, you know, the biggest adjustment to make as the point guard, right? I think that's the biggest transition when you go to a new team, especially when you are a facilitator and an organizer of the offense in the quarter court. That's probably the biggest adjustment. And, you know, other players move to different teams, but they're kind of, you know, they can kind of blend in where you fit in kind of situation. But for a point guard, that takes a command mentality. You fall on the sword when the team loses, right? With the coach, right? Because it's an extension of the coach, the point guard, right? So, you know, how well are you organizing the team? How well are you, what are you looking like with your assist turnover ratio? Are you tops in that? What's your volume on your assists to your turnovers? And I think that factors into it as well. But, you know, when you're Courtney Vandersloot and you also have the ability to score, it's like, okay, now I'm trying to make sure everybody eats or whatever, right? And make sure everybody gets a touch, but I can also impact the game with my offensive production. So how do you find that happy medium where you're impacting the game as a facilitator, but you can also find your niche offensively to, you know, carve out 10 points a game, 10, 12 points a game, as well as, you know, 7, 8, 9 assists a game, and do that with a new group of faces. So I'm not worried about Courtney Vandersloot at all.
No, she's doing great.
And the fact that she's already leading the league in assists, that's not surprising to me, but I am saying that has probably been a huge learning curve for her, you know, to get what Sandy Brondello wants executed, right? But I think it's really intriguing to watch. I think I really admire point guards for that because of that challenge that they have every day in practice. Like, you can't be low spirited. You can't be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to always have the energy. You have to always be picking everybody up. It's almost like you're the mom of the team, you know, it's like you have that responsibility, you know, and then hopefully someone's watching after her in that same way. Right. Like, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
Well, for Courtney,
right. For everyone else. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
For Courtney, it's Allie Quigley who is in the stands at every game, which is incredible. It's just, man, wish you could just point. I wish in basketball, sometimes you just point in the stands and be like, hey, you want to, you can lace them up. We have like 10 minutes if you want.
Yeah, come out for a quarter.
Yeah, that was bizarre seeing Allie Quigley in the stands. But yeah, no, I think for Courtney, she's rolling along. I think she's just been like such a machine, and she is. You can tell what you're saying in terms of like, this is an adjustment. Like, there's sometimes where she's, you know, moving around, and the team's not moving around her. And then there's some, like, you know, they have a lot of point guards or players who have played a lot of point guard, like Sabrina played a lot of point guard, obviously, in her career. You have Maureen Johannes, who Maureen Johannes I love her.
Yeah.
So she's one of these players who's capable of anything. Like, some of those passes are going to be awesome. Some of them are going to go into the third row, and you just got to live with it. This is where you got to put on a smile and be like, hey, good job, Maureen. Just keep going. Whatever pops into your head, try it, because sometimes it's magic. Like, there's some whip passes that she does that I'm like, I'm not sure anybody across basketball does it better than her, that little whip pass. And some of them go to the third row.
Tisha. She reminds me a lot of Tisha Panatero, like, with those wraparound. As soon as you said that, you know, I'm picturing Tish. And Tish was compared to Magic, right? Magic Johnson. So, I mean, I love her game. I love the flashiness of it. And it is high risk, high reward. Like you said, I mean, it's going to be in the third row, or it's going to be a pocket pass. Like, and they're going to score on it. So I live with it. I'm not mad at it. I love the flair that she brings to the game. And, you know, and it's not arrogant. It's just, it's artwork, right? It's beautiful. It's crafty and it's risky. And you kind of love that it's risky, right? That she has the wherewithal to be like, I see what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know? But I love that she's not afraid, you know, and I love players who aren't afraid if they can back it up with their skill set. Right.
Like, I like
you're
that
not afraid. You're like, oh, for 20, like, you're killing us, but you're not like that. You know what I mean? So she's high risk, high reward, but the rewards, I think, outweigh the risk with her.
Yeah, for sure. No. You, I mean, like, it's fine. Like, she does. I think she on balance is definitely outweighing her negatives. Just some of those passes, like some of them, like even as a fan, you're like, gee, why'd she do that? And then you think back and you're like, okay, it's okay, because like, this is all part of the process. It is an art. There's an art to this. So I think, like, Chelsea Gray does this, and it's a little bit more about efficiency, you know? Like, Chelsea Gray makes those passes, and it's like, boom, like, I'm doing this because if I throw the pass like this, like, it'll get to her a second earlier. And Maureen does that too, don't get me wrong, but, like, there's more of like a, I'm throwing this pass because I want to see what happens.
Right.
And like, I want to see if I could do it. And there's a lot more of that. And I just think you're right. Like, she's good enough to get away with it because she's so good at it. It is a little bit like Teach it, and you know, you don't see it in the highlights. Teach had a lot of turnovers too. Like, it's fine. It's just something that happens when you're that type of player.
Yeah, but the one she connected on, let me tell you something about Teach. That's my girl now. Look, she was fantastic. I mean, and it wasn't like, again, it wasn't that she was trying to be overly fanciful, you know, with her creativity, but man, her creativity was beautiful to watch. I mean, absolutely beautiful to watch. Same with Magic Johnson. So, I mean, he was my favorite point guard. So, I mean, when you look at what he was able to do, he found joy in, you know, setting up his teammates. Same with Tish, right? And I think you can say the same with Maureen. Like, she wants to set her teammates up, and she's doing it with flair and flash and efficiency for the most part. So I love it. I love it, you know, and most of the ones that are, you know, fancy or whatever, are a surprise. Like, oh snap! Like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't think she was gonna go like behind her, over top of her head. But boy, she caught it and finished. So it's like, okay, go.
I think Niara Sabali had that happen to her. Like, and once she was like open in the corner, and it was just, I'm not even sure the pass was necessary, to be honest, but it looked real pretty. It was like, shoom, and like Niara caught it, and it was right in her shooter's pocket too. Like, I think that was the more shocking part. Is like, okay, she can make that pass, but for it, I don't have to move my hands.
Yeah.
And she caught it, and there was like a second pause where I'm sure in her head she was like,
just like, what just happened?
What happened? And then she shot it and she missed it. But right. It was a nice pass.
Love it.
So Maureen adding to that team is going to be great. But yeah, growing pains, they'll be okay. I think they just need a little bit of time. Now, do you want to, where do you want to talk about next? Like, we can talk about any team in the league because we haven't touched on that many yet. So, I mean, we can talk Sky.
Yeah.
Sky.
Let's go with Chicago.
Sky High. Chicago, the Bears. This is not the Bears. This is the Skies. The Sky. And they are better than probably a lot of people pictured, right? I mean, I think I probably had them closer to the bottom. of my power rankings if I actually put those out, and they're 5-3, and they're playing great basketball. And James Wade looks like he picked some great talent in the offseason that were just diamonds in the rough, and he's really rebuilt this team into something that looks like it looks really good right now.
Yeah, I mean, James Wade last night, I mean, I was screaming watching that game they played last night, because when you have, they're playing Indiana, right?
Yes.
Last night. So they're playing Indiana, and, you know, Indiana just scored in the waning seconds of regulation. And then Chicago calls the timeout. I forgot how much exact time they had, but it was like very few seconds to execute what they executed. And they had a sideline out of bounds play on the ATO. And it was amazingly executed. Like everyone, it was like an orchestra, right? Everyone did their part. Everyone's instrument was in tune. They set the screen. They rejected the screen. Copper went through, and they brought it up to the top. And then they got the drive, dribble drive in the finish. Was that you?
I think that was me. Sorry.
Oh, no, but to take it to overtime. So, I mean, for him to draw it up to what he wanted, and then the team to come out and execute it, I was like, man, come on. That was perfect.
Check out this technology here, Christy. So the reason that made a sound is because I just downloaded that play, and we can play it here.
Oh, yes.
We don't need sound.
This feeds Mabry. A cutting step. Oh. Ties it. She ties it. Count the bucket.
Oh, that's my girl, too. Lisa Byington and Megan McHugh are on the call. Those are my people. But look at it. Look, it perfectly executed. You know, everyone knew that it would probably go to Kalia Copper, who was down at the bottom there taking the cut.
Yeah, I don't know how to highlight stuff.
Yeah, she was the decoy in this one because, I mean, obviously they're not going to give it to her. I mean, obviously the defense is not going to let her get a face cut to the rim on the first cut, right? So they bumped off, covered that, and then here comes Smith up to the top. I mean,
yeah.
And then she was able to get her momentum and get downhill just straight to the rack.
Is that Mabry right there? Mabry gets the inbound. Yeah, so Mabry gets the inbound, right?
Yeah.
And then it's a little curl. And man, look at that window right there. Yeah. That's good defenders. I mean, Aaliyah Boss, a player that we could talk about in a little bit, but good defenders, just a really good seal right there and great role.
Perfect roll, and then she got it right to her, boom. And then the defense was behind, you know, Smith on that play. But, yeah, Mabry was right there. I mean, to make that pass and got it to her. I love it. Oh, thank you for clipping that.
Look at that. We could do stuff like that. I figured that out today, by the way. That was
awesome. Nice. Oh,
we also definitely have to talk about Aaliyah Boston, because I have another video that I can play while we talk about Aaliyah Boston. So we have to talk about Aaliyah Boston. I know there's several South Carolina fans that listen to us. We're going to talk about Aaliyah Boston. I know we didn't talk about enough about Asia Wilson when we were talking about the Aces, because she's going to be the MVP, so we'll talk about her a lot. The Aaliyah Boston conversation will happen. Back to the Sky. I just think they're playing well. And that play was like a really good example of what James Wade is doing with this team. Really well coached. They're in the right spots. And to your point, at the end of that game, I feel like there was three or four after timeout actions between the coaches where I think James Wade drew one up to tie the game.
Right.
And it was really nice. I think there was a Lonnie Smith three, perhaps.
Yep.
I don't remember when that came. So there was that one. And then there was the bucket on the other end, which was a Aaliyah Boston putback. Which I'm sure is exactly what Christy Sides drew up. She said, hey, Aaliyah, you're going to get the rebound right here, and you're going to put it back. They get the bucket there, and then the other one that we just watched from James Wade.
Yeah.
Really great execution all around from both teams, and I think that's what the Chicago Sky kind of are. Great execution team. It's supposed to be, they play, I think, just the right brand for them, and they need to shoot a little bit better, I think, around. Just like there's some players that are like Courtney Williams shooting 42% from three.
Right.
Will that continue? So then you have to expect someone else to pick it up. But the way they're playing now is wonderful. I think James Wade is doing a wonderful job. And I think this probably continues. Like, do you believe in them throughout the season to make a run into at least the playoffs?
I do. I just think, you know, and I'm going by that one play in particular, right? When, because they've bought in, number one, no one's going to say like, okay, here's the play on the board and let me go do my own thing. Nobody did that, which is why the play worked. I just think there's 100% buy into what James Wade is selling, right? Which is continuity, which is, it's going to take all of us, which is to be locked in. And that was, I heard Lisa Byington say that, or some, not verbatim, but something along those lines. Like, we have to be passionate, you know, in this game. And when you're passionate, that wears off. That, I mean, not wears off, but that trickles down to everybody else, right? When one player is showing that, then it's like a collective combustion that you want. Right. That's what you desire for your team, that everyone's on the same page with their energy. And so I won't be surprised if they can, you know, sustain what they've started out the season with because of that. Right. When you can execute like that, and who knows, like if that shot is off, if I'm James Wade, I love that we got a crack at it.
Yeah.
Right. We executed it, but we missed. OK, but I would be bitter about it if this is what I wanted. Right. On the whiteboard. And we go out and it's all kind of disconnects, or it's not, the screens aren't being set, or somebody's off on their own world, you know, trying to be a hero. Right. So that would anger me more than running it properly and missing a shot. So with that in mind, I'm not surprised that they're doing what they're doing right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are able to sustain it later.
Again, the title of this podcast should be, we're surprised, but should we be? Because we shouldn't be. The Aces are really good. Right. The Liberty have a brand new team. They're gonna be good, but struggle. The Sky are coached by a really good coach who's a championship level coach, and have two players that are absolute, at least they have a lot of players who are absolute dogs, but their two top players are dogs, and we know that they're really good. Yeah. And like, hey, maybe Alana Smith's a little bit of a surprise, but she was a first round pick for a reason. Like, they,
don't forget it.
Maybe we shouldn't be that surprised. But no. Anyway. So congrats. And to pull it off, sorry. To your point, I didn't make a big enough deal about this. To pull that off in 2.7 seconds?
That's what, like, I said. That's... I knew it was waning. It was 2.7. Wow. 2.7. I don't know. I thought it was like 5-ish.
2.7. That felt like a lot of play.
That's all they needed. And you could tell. I mean, you know, when you go over as a coach now for you, you know, you go over situations, right, every day. And it brings out the best in your team, I think, just to be calm in those moments. And to understand, like, hey, we've worked on this. Hey, we've had, you know, we've run this and we've gotten it in 2.7 seconds. Like, maybe they ran that play with 2.7 seconds, you know, in practice. So it's like, I've been here, done this. And they go right out and execute it perfectly. I mean, took it to overtime. But I just think it was, I mean, the overtime session too, you could tell that's all they needed was that extra punch of energy to get to the overtime, and then they were able to just hoop in the overtime and got the win.
No, it's really impressive. And I think the other thing right there that's impressive, Clay Copper making a cut knowing that she's not gonna get the ball.
Exactly.
A lot of players will cut 100% there, or you know they fudge it. She knew she was gonna get hit. She knew she wasn't gonna get the ball. Yeah. Still cut really hard to make the entire play happen. The entire play is based on that cut, and she made it really hard.
Absolutely.
So good for this guy. I'm with you. I think they're gonna be around. Now, I'm not sure they're gonna be getting, you know, home court consideration, but they're gonna be one of those teams that were like, ooh, they're lurking. Like,
right. No, I agree. Yeah. I mean
I don't want to see them in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, 12 really great teams. I mean, that could night in, night out, like, take you to the woodshed if you're not on point.
Well, and transition. Speaking of one of those teams, the Indiana Fever, they are finally one of those teams that can actually win a basketball game in this league.
Yeah.
Famously, they broke the Christie curse. Christie, you jinxed this team last year. I don't know if you remember.
I don't talk about that, man, because I still thought I was going to win that after the All-Star break. They just needed to win a couple games, man.
They need to win one game, exactly.
Just one. So
we bet at the beginning of the season, early on. The Fever had, like, they had won a game or something. I was like, there's no way they win more than like 7 games. Because you had said they would match their season total by the All-Star break. And I said, they will not win that. So that was, it was like, they had to get 7 wins. And so they win six games in like their first, I don't know.
Yeah. 10,
12, 15
and I was like games. This. I was like, let's go. And then after All-Star break,
they didn't win the rest of the year.
That was not just
the All-Star break. The rest of the year, and then the first four games this year, before finally breaking the streak against Indiana. Against Atlanta.
That was not cute last year. And I mean, after, you know, the second half after the All-Star break, I was like, come on, you can scratch out a couple. Scratch out a couple for me. And nope. But, you know, they had a super young team last year with five rookies, right? Drafted seven new players to the team and then had five rookies on it. And, yeah. And Kelsey Mitchell is who she is, which is an amazing player. But, you know, she has some really young players around her last year. But you could see the fight in them this year. And I think, although they did get that win against Atlanta, I still think, you know, their upside is tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
Same reasons as Chicago.
And I think for Indiana, it's like you watch that game against Atlanta. I think the best thing about that was they had the winning mentality. They were resilient. They lost leads. They gave it up. They had to get back to it. That's great. But Nelissa Smith was like unbelievable.
Yeah, she was.
I know we think she's a really good player. She's a great prospect, but like she was just on their level. And you saw, to me, it was like, whoa, like that clicked. Like, is Nelissa Smith plays like that? If they can get that from her more often, and Leah Boston is already doing what Leah Boston does.
Yeah.
She's just doing it in the WNBA now.
True.
This team is already, because they have Mitchell, this team is pretty good. They've only won, they're still 1-5. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs, but the vision now came into view for me with Smith playing like that, with Boston doing what she's doing. And, you know, I think I want to praise Aaliyah Boston because, I mean, it's pretty easy. That's an easy thing to do, right? I want to praise her because I think her offense is just a little bit more rounded out and ready than I thought. Let's watch some highlights, Christy.
Haha, let's watch.
Oh, I'm going to put it on mute. So, yeah, this is the putback against Chicago. Oh, yeah.
Easy money. Easy money.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And tell me what you think about her, but I just think she's done a lot more other stuff than she did in college. Like, this is a great post up on Asia Wilson, right? But yes. I think as the tape goes on, I put in some more stuff where she has like rounded out her game a little bit, I think.
Ah, put it on the deck. Okay. Watch right here. Getting downhill and take it to the rack. Why not? Right? You have the space to do that, to rip and go, and you love to see it. And, you know, in the previous play where she dove down and posted up, and she's used to being in a crowded area, okay? She's used to having, you know, 2.5 bodies in her space, or like I like to say, in your frame, right? In your picture frame. And she knows how to maneuver around it. So you have to give her credit. I mean, I think she's the front runner for Rookie of the Year, obviously a number one overall pick. But I just think, you know, we're talking about seamless before, right, with the new players to these, to Vegas and New York. But, I mean, to be a rookie, to be the number one overall pick, that's been daunting for some players, right?
Yeah.
And I know some had injuries and everything like that, too. But, I mean, Kelsey Plum didn't have an easy transition rookie year. And, I mean, Plum Dog is who Plum Dog is now because of the struggles she had as a rookie. And then Skylar Diggins-Smith, too, out of the gates. I mean, it was a transition. But then look at her. I mean, Olympic gold medal. I mean, she has done a tremendous job as well. So it's not always easy, right, to be the number one overall pick or, you know, to be a top pick of a team and have a lot of that weight on your shoulders and come in and command it, right? Especially from the post position where, you know, for guards, it's probably harder. But for post players, I mean, you saw she had added some things to her skill set. Yeah.
Well, I just want to point out here, too, like,
it's pretty impressive.
This is not something that would happen at South Carolina. Like her guards getting blitzed there.
Right.
And this team, the Connecticut Sun, they're not necessarily more concerned with this guard. I believe that's Lexi Hall.
Right.
They're not necessarily more concerned with her scoring ability than with Aaliyah Boston. This is just the defense they play. Right. Like this is just if it's a Nash ball screen going down to that empty corner, we trap it. That's just a deep. So now there's so much more space for Leah Boston because the defense isn't all honed in on playing her. That's the other thing about college, right? In college, every team is honed in. Like every game is about beating that opponent. Yeah. In the league, they don't necessarily have time to do that kind of stuff. Like you can scout and all that, but you're really playing the way you play normally and by your principles. So I think she just has a lot, just more space. She's awesome. This play is really cool. Seeing her find space and then pass out of the double team into a three.
That's amazing. That's a great look right there. I mean, like you said, her composure, right?
Yes.
And she backs up her composure with a skill set, stretching the floor, nail extended, easy money. Look right here. Catch and shoot it.
Short roll. And she hits this three. Into the game too. Big play. Big needs play. The three. Buries it. And that's all I have. But man.
That's awesome, Gabe. I love that.
We'll do some more. We'll do some more stuff like that. I just have like so much. I have so much tape all the time, and I don't know what to do with it.
Put it up.
So we're gonna put it up here.
I love it.
But I just thought, you know, for her to already have that game, you can already see it starting to add stuff, and not that she couldn't do these things. It's just doing it more consistently, finding the space, understanding the space that she has, and this is something that we heard a lot coming into college. Is like. Leah Boston, when she gets to the league, she have a little bit more space. It's going to be a little bit easier. I'm not sure that's necessarily panned out, but it is. She's finding the spots where she needs to be, and I think she's going to just be awesome. There was a stat. Did you see the stat? I forget what it was.
I didn't, but I want her to have more touches. Hopefully that's the stat you're about to bring up. Give it to her. Give her a ball.
Man, she does not have a lot of touches.
No.
I just noticed that. What's her usage like? But she's that type of player, isn't she?
Yeah, but still, like, if she's efficient, she can get a touch every possession. I don't care. Like, it doesn't mean that she's going to shoot it every time, but let the defense work against her getting a touch. Let's see what the defense does. Let's see if they send bodies to her, right, and load up on her, wall up, and take away her space because she's a brilliant passer. So that's going to open up things for the rest of the team. We already saw her kick out of the double team and weak side foul line extended. And they nailed that three. So how many more other times can that happen in a game?
A lot more.
Touch. Give her the ball, man.
So to your point, 18.8% usage rate for Leah Boston. That's actually that's fifth on the Fever. I mean, there's also two. So there's two players on the bench unit that have a higher than her. So she's third. She has the third highest usage in the starting lineup for the Fever. I'm with you. That needs to be higher. I found the stat though. She's the first player in WNBA history to average 15 points per game on 70% field goal shooting over their first six games of a season.
Wow.
And she's done it in the first six games of her career. Shouts to Alexa Philippou. Friend of the pod.
Well, that's awesome. No, I mean, I know it's early. I know it's early, but I mean, her usage needs to be number one on the team. And that's no shade to anybody else. That's not saying that no one else can play. That's saying that's our best option, right? For every possession to see what the defense morphs into and then make a read off of that. I mean, that's your best weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, even as a catcher, like she's your best weapon. And 70% shooter, I mean, that's not a bad weapon either to be able to knock in 70% of your shots.
Yeah.
But the way that she can facilitate out of double and a half teams, you know, a double team and a shader, right? I mean, she makes great decisions. So let her make more of them.
Yeah.
High volume. Like if you're doing something well, then my whole thing is it's silly not to be high volume with what's working well.
Yeah.
Right? Or what's most efficient. Do that then. And I don't care if people get mad about that. Like it's best for the team. And that's what we're preaching, right? The team is first. Right. So everyone's going to have to fall in line and buy into that philosophy and get her the most touches and have her be the highest in usage rate for any. And that's no shade to the coaches either. So don't try to say, oh, she's trying to coach. I'm just thinking, you know, if that's the fact of it, then follow the fact up with execution. That's it.
Very simple. I think, you know, there. To be fair to the Fever, it is not necessarily something that's easy to do with Leah Boston, because I think to a certain extent, the way you get her, the way you force feed it is her getting post-touch, right? Her getting post-touch is the way you feed. But I personally, I think the best stuff they've been doing is doing stuff. Hey, we're going to run some action, and then we get Aaliyah Boston into the post. But it's not necessarily, I think, you know, South Carolina got caught, you know, in this conundrum often too, is like, well, do we waste time in the shot clock trying to, you know, get her, get motion and movement, or do we just say our best option is down there? Like you're saying, our best option's down there. Let's force feed it in. I understand. I think in the regular season of most professional, like if for the regular season,
right,
you do kind of have to run a little bit of motion to keep all the players interested and involved and under, and, you know, getting playing together. Cause in the playoffs, you'll need that. So I do think, I just think they need to figure out how to do it in a way that's not just Aaliyah post up. Aaliyah, get in the pinch post. Aaliyah,
shoot the pick three. And roll.
Well, I'm not sure I want to shoot threes. You like?
I mean, not every time, but I'm saying not just on post-ups. My thing is not just entry pass, into her and everybody get out of the way. Although I would love that. But
I was about to say.
Beat it and clear out. But I'm just saying, like, if I mean, the defense is going to do different things when she touches the ball. And it's the same thing with Elena Deledon when she touches the basketball and the possession. It's different than when anyone else on the team touches the basketball. So that's all I'm saying. And it doesn't have to be. I mean, I was being overly dramatic. Imagine that, me being overly dramatic. But, you know, I was saying every single possession doesn't have to be every single, but she needs more touches. And I just leave it at that. And wherever that is on the floor, right? Yeah. Because the defense is going to make decisions based on where Boston is on the court, where, regardless of where it is. Nail extended. I don't care. They're going to play differently when she has the basketball in her hands. And that's all I'm saying. Like, you can run motion and all that and everyone's happy, you know, and it doesn't have to exclusively just be in her hands every single time. But I think there has to be at least 4 or 5 more touches for her per game. I mean, that's twice a quarter. You can get it to her 2 or 3 times extra a quarter. I think you can. Right.
Yeah.
And then make the defense make choices after that. But that's all I'm saying. And that, and again, it's no shade to anybody else, but I just, you know, it's chess, not checkers for me. I want to see what the defense is going to do. I want to make them make decisions based on what we are doing on the offensive side, right? And I want it to be our choice. Not, we're not going to change to what you're doing for us, right? I want you to change. Now you have to make the adjustment defensively against what we're doing. That's the challenge for me. As a former coach, anyway, but that's so, I want to try this to see what you do.
Yeah, Coach Sides, just get Aaliyah Boston the ball in the post is what Chrissy's trying to say.
Give it to her.
She didn't just want to say that, but like I know what she's thinking. Just get post her up. Just give her like 2 more post touches every quarter. It's not that hard. That's all she. Hey, you listen to Chrissy. I would listen to her before you listen.
That's my girl too. I, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know.
Oh yeah, Chrissy, the Chrissy connection.
The Chrissy to Chrissy law firm, you know. I didn't even mean to say that. Law and mercy, not love law firm. But even though that was great. But I just think with her, I mean, she knows what she's doing. And maybe it is early. And early. You know, Aaliyah's a rookie, so maybe she's just coming into form. And the team, again, is developing the chemistry. So I'm not trying to overstep bounds and this is what you should do. I'm not saying that, but it would be nice to see.
Oh, I do it all the time. Coaches love it.
Oh, you do?
you should try it. You should hear how many coaches, WNBA coaches, come up to me like, you know, that idea that you said on the podcast, we try. No, it's never happened. And it never
I was kidding. Who said that? I'm trying to figure out. Okay. I thought you were so gullible. I'm all believing you.
They have much better ideas than I do. We'll talk about the Mystics at some other point. I mean, we actually should really just do like a post-game Mystics podcast at some point.
We should. But I'm down with that.
They're on the West Coast this weekend and the game starts at 10 p.m.
Oh. I don't mind that. You know I'm up, honey. I'm up late.
That's
you're not though, are you?
I'm not up that late. You're like, late. Well, I might be up, but I'm not like, I could do a podcast right now.
Especially after a game when you have all the thoughts running. Oh,
hey, maybe Sunday. Oh no. Never mind. I'm at a thing. I'm going.
Wait, you're at a thing. You're doing a thing. Oh, I think I'm flying Sunday. We'll talk.
There's a game on Tuesday. Maybe
then.
Maybe courtside.
Phoenix, right?
Indiana.
Indiana. Oh, Indiana. What am I talking about? Phoenix. Anyway.
They're on the road for a while.
Yeah. They come back the 16th against Phoenix. Wow. That's why that's in my head. Phoenix is coming to D.C.
Oh, Brittany's coming. Oh, that's going to be awesome. Man, that's a long time for now.
Really hard when she comes here, too. It's
going to be emotional.
Scripting that for myself.
So maybe Tuesday, maybe Sunday, we'll figure out a time to do something like that.
Yeah, calm down.
So we do have some college news that we haven't talked about. Do you know where Ashley Owusu ended up?
Yes, man. You can break the news, man. Go ahead.
I saw this, but I forgot about it. It's Penn State.
Yeah. I thought you said you forgot where, but that's why I added in. But yeah, she's headed back to the Big Ten.
Yeah. After
stint with Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech, who went to the Final Four. And yeah. What are your thoughts on that? I know you always ask me questions. So I'm going to ask you.
Good for her. I think that's probably the right. That's probably the right place. I mean, I think it's a program that needs someone that can score and kind of take over that role. I think she'll be able to get the ball a lot more. And I think that's where she wants to be in a position like that. And I also think that is probably best for her long-term to be in a program like that than either, you know, playing in Europe, which is something that she floated out there.
Really?
Yeah. She said she was going to go to the draft, and you know, I think someone talked her out of that. Luckily, because so now she realized that she should be in college, and I agree. I think that's a really, really good spot for her. So hopefully, all works out. Yeah, we're always we're rooting for everyone.
Yeah.
Especially former Maryland people, at least.
Yeah. Where else was she considering? Did you see anything? I didn't see anything. I'm asking you. I don't know. Like, what were her choices like down to? Yeah, obviously Penn State was one of them.
Yeah, I think I don't know. She didn't. No.
Just wondering.
I know definitely not Maryland or Virginia Tech. Those two are not on the list.
Oh, okay, Gabe.
We could eliminate those two. That was definitely not on the list.
I can't see right now.
So, there's a 3-on-3. Yeah. I think Kaylee Van Lith won another 3-on-3.
Oh, yeah.
Another 3-on-3. And the men lost Jimmer. We're not a men's basketball podcast.
They did. I saw Lindsay Whalen.
Did you watch this?
No, I didn't, but I saw Lindsay Whalen is on the USA basketball committee, which I didn't know until she posted something about it and said that the women's team won and then the men's team did not win. But I saw a picture of her hugging Haley Van Lith and some of the other players. But I think that's really cool that Lindsay Whalen has that role with USA basketball after winning a couple gold medals and, you know, doing her thing with the Minnesota Lynx. So it's pretty awesome.
The Minnesota legend, Mrs. Minnesota, honestly, the most Minnesota person I could probably think of. The three, I want to give credit to everyone, obviously. So Haley Van Lith is on this team. Sierra Burdick, who's a WNBA veteran, was on that team. And then Cameron Brink, also on the team.
That
was a lot of,
pretty fantastic.
Lot of sauce.
Yeah, pretty fantastic. You said a lot of sauce.
That's a, well, both. I said a lot of size, but I mean, wherever Haley Van Lith goes, there is a lot of sauce on the court.
I thought you said sauce. You know, I have all these kids that say sauce, so I thought you said that. But anyway.
Oh, one more thing. One more thing. Iowa and Virginia Tech going to play in November in Charlotte. What?
Is that a tournament?
I guess there's a tournament. That newly announced Ally Tip-Off.
Wow.
In Charlotte.
Wow.
Road trip? Yeah, you want to go?
I mean,
I always have reason to go to North Carolina.
When's the date? Do they have the date?
Shoot.
Look it up, Gabe. You're the looker-upper.
November 9th. Oh.
I don't know.
We might be starting the basketball season then.
Yeah.
But if we can go, courtside on the road.
Really? Okay.
Courtside on the road.
Charlotte.
All right. I think that's all the college needs to have.
Yeah. I think that's it too. I mean, I know for the WNBA, I do know we were talking about Lindsay Whalen, but I think there's going to be a homecoming for that whole crew that won all the titles.
Yes.
Coming up soon in Minnesota at the end of this week, I believe. And then Sue Bird is also, I think, are they retiring her number on Sunday?
Yeah, they're having like a whole...
Yeah, it's on ABC.
Doing the Dwayne Wade like celebration of...
Oh. Yeah.
You know how Dwayne Wade had like an entire weekend. It was very extra. Sue Bird's going to get the entire extra weekend. I don't know what's going to happen when LeBron retires. Because that is going to be... He's going to plan the biggest party for three to four franchises. And Diana's going to be different, but
yeah,
I think it'll be fun. I just think it'll be more understated.
Yeah, LeBron will definitely be in Miami for his, probably for sure. For your sake, you want him there.
If he stayed in Miami, we'd win a lot more titles. That's all I'm saying. That's the only thing I'm going to say about it.
You got Hemi. You got Hemi.
Hey, it's working out great for us.
Hemi Neutron. Hemi Neutron. He's doing it. He's dipping and doing.
I think that, and then there have been some little nicks and cuts up in the WNBA. No one out for too long. Although Aaron McDonald has a torn labrum,
at
3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's a quick turnaround. I thought when I saw 3 or 4 weeks, I was like, wow, that's pretty quick to come back from something like that. But I've never done that, so I don't know. And technology today, I guess,
we know at least one person who can play through a torn labrum, and that's Liz Thomas, who's done it for a lot of her career at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's all I got. Unless you want to pick the Heat game, you want to give a Heat pick? I'm not picking.
I'm going to go with the Heat because you've swayed me that way. Now, I really love the hard work and the hard hat mentality of Miami and the fact that they won the game against Denver in the last one the way that they did. It's hard to bet against them, but I'm here for the chess match of it all. I want to see a great game, but I mean, Miami has it, you know, Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning, you know, they got the culture correct. I like that. So I don't know. I like to see people on the same page. So should be interesting to see, especially
Denver's a good team too.
Oh, they're a great team.
They got our guy, DMVer, legendary DMVer, Jeff Green.
Uncle Jeff.
I've just been in the league like my entire life. All right.
No.
We got to get off this podcast.
I know.
I'm nervous about the game.
We're going down a little rabbit hole. Anywho, but listen, it has been fantastic to chop it up with you, my friend, right here on Courtside with Christy and Gabe on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We will be back. We don't have to go home, but we do have to get up out of here to shut the lights off. We got our cranberry juice and our popcorn ready for the Heat game, but also some WNBA games as well. So we will be back to chop it up with you next time right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I'm Christy Winterscott for my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. We will see you next time.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.